Well, I thought of that example of letters from home when you're away at camp, and then I realized the Hinton kids may be the only ones here this morning and that maybe they hadn't been to camp, but I knew that they had talked to Gran and Pop on a pretty regular basis. But for the rest of you, maybe you've had that experience of being apart from someone that you care about, who cares about you, and getting that written correspondence and just how exciting it is. I mean, my whole first year of college, I went to the mailbox. You know, there wasn't something there every day, but I went to check just in case someone had written me. But as exciting as that, I still get excited to get mail or packages. But as exciting as that is, how much more so than to see in person the ones we love? And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. God's word is precious to us, right? And it's very specific, and it's all these words that we can read about God. We're also going to talk about the person of Jesus and how he was the living embodiment of God's word. So you heard in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and that is the disciple John talking about Jesus and calling him this word, logos, this Greek word. And I want to in just a minute, play a video clip for you. I'm very hopeful it's not going to shut down our live stream. We'll see. If you're watching on live stream and it cuts out, we'll put it back up this afternoon. This is the first time we've tried to do this. But it's about a two-minute clip from a show, a TV series called The Chosen, that had been recommended to me, and Heather and I got around to watching it about a month ago, and it is fantastic. I mean, it's well-researched, it's very authentic, it's not cheesy, as sometimes Jesus movies can be, and we just loved it. I mean, I often found myself brought to tears by the end of an episode. It's just telling the stories of Jesus, but it's just very well done. The particular scene I want to show you is it's an imagined scene, but it's one that the Bible does describe Jesus doing, which is going to a synagogue and reading from the scriptures there. And he's been invited as a rabbi to choose a portion of reading from the Holy Scriptures. And this is the part that's imagined. The disciple John comes in, and they're having a conversation while Jesus is trying to decide what to read. And he asks John, what do you think I should read? And they talk about that, and John says one of his favorites is the beginning from Genesis. And you'll see their dialogue, and John says something about, he doesn't say logos, but he talks about the Greek idea of the word. So you'll see that, and then you'll see the scene kind of flash back and forth from Jesus reading from Genesis to an older version of John who is reciting the gospel that he will be writing that you heard read this morning from John 1. I hope you could tell it's the same guy. His beard's just a little bit longer, a little bit grayer. But I thought it really set up nicely this overlap between Genesis and the first part of John and how they talk about Jesus as the Word being with God in the beginning. So let's watch this.
So, do you have a favorite passage from the first five? Do you? I don't know. I like them all.
You don't say.
I suppose I love the beginning. Mm. I love how God simply spoke and the world came into being.
Yes. As David wrote, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made.
You know, the Greeks use word to describe divine reason, what gives the world form and meaning.
I like that. And it is a favorite memory. A reading from the first scroll of Moses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the earth was void and without form.
And the Word was with God.
And the darkness covered the face of the deep.
and the Word was God.
Then God said, let there be light. And there was light.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
This word, logos, appears over 300 times in the New Testament. It's a very common word because people are all the time talking, right, or writing. But it's used in a particular way by John, who knew Jesus, who had met God in the flesh, who was present at creation. So when he talks about the word, it's a person. The word was with God, and the word was God. I want to talk this morning with you about that idea, this subset of a very common word, and how it's used in the Old Testament briefly, how it's used in the New Testament briefly, and then what that invites us to do in relationship to Jesus. So I want to start in the Old Testament. We did not read these in the service, but there are three or four passages. I just want to mention this is out of many, 30, 40, where it's not just word was used, but the word of the Lord. God was speaking. And when God spoke, like at creation, God's words are so powerful. They are the, they carry the will and the purpose of this Almighty God that they almost become, they seem like this living being. In the Old Testament, almost. It's the word of the Lord. And so, for example, in Genesis, you can go to the next one. In Genesis 15, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Yeah, we actually talked about this last week. It was a vision, but it was so real, so powerful, so personal that it was as if God was there with Abraham. This is when the covenant was established, but it was the word of the Lord came Abraham. In 1 Samuel, there was the young boy, Samuel, who was living in the temple with the priest Eli. And 1 Samuel 3 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him yet. But he started waking up in the night, hearing his name called. And so he asked Eli the priest, did you call me? I'm hearing my name. And Eli said, no, go back to sleep. And about the third time, Eli said, I think it's the Lord. If you hear your name called again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This was the word of the Lord, the presence of the Lord coming to Samuel, who would grow up to be a great prophet himself. And then the psalm that in the clip they referenced, we read it as our call to worship. But twice, the word of the Lord is upright, is righteous, is right and good. And then by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Right? In Genesis, let there be light, God said, and there was. Right? And just over and over again, as the world was created, God spoke and it was. And Jesus and John in that clip connected that to John talking about the word. Jesus said, yes, David wrote, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Whenever you read that in the Old Testament, it's not the words of the Lord. There is that, right? There. I mean, if you open up the Bible, these are the words of the Lord. But there's something about that singular, the word of the Lord. And we say this every week, right? Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord is this, what God has to say, like the collective, complete message, God's will and God's purpose. It's what God wants, and it's to a degree, it's what God is like. Right? The word of the Lord. And so it that word comes to prophets, to kings, to leaders, to us. I thought about that letter from home, from camp. See in the picture there. If you're away at camp, I guess it's just the older ones among us even remember letters from home like this. But you can translate it into texts or whatever you want. But you didn't run to the mailbox or go to the mail call and say, did I get like a bunch of words from home? No, you wanted the thing, right? The message from mom or dad or grandma or grandpa that said, we miss you, we love you, hope you're having fun. There's that crazy song about being away at camp. But it wasn't the individual words, it was that someone loves me and misses me and is thinking of me. It was the letter, the word from home, right? And it points to something greater, the person behind it, right? And then how much greater than when it's pickup time or you arrive home at the airport to see the one that stood behind that letter from home. The Old Testament almost treats it like a person, the word of the Lord, right? Like the treasured letter from home. And the bridge over into the New Testament, before we even get to John's gospel, is Jesus, in one of his early sermons, says about that Old Testament scripture, he says, I haven't come to do away with it. He treasured it. He would go read it in the synagogue. He spoke and quoted it all the time. He treasured it. He said, I haven't come to do away with it. I am the fulfillment of it. I've come to complete it. And that not only had to do with the law of Moses and all that, but with the word of the Lord, right? So he speaks the word of the Lord, and John even tells us he is the word of the Lord. So these passages we heard in the reading today, you get a sense of that, right? In Luke 22, it's a scene where Jesus has told Peter, you're going to deny me. And then this verse is right when the rooster crows, Jesus has already been arrested. Peter realizes he's denied knowing Jesus. And Jesus catches his eye just then. And we're not going to focus on the story part. But what the verse says is that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And then this is so interesting. He remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, like it's a person, right? He didn't remember the words of his master. He remembered the word of the Lord who said, you will deny me. I want to stop just short of saying that was their nickname for him. But it's Jesus is so identified with this power and word and purpose of God that John does call him the Logos, the word of God. And there are passages like this where you just wonder when Peter looks at him, is he actually remembering the words that Jesus said, or does he reconnect with his Savior right then and remember that moment before when Jesus had told him about the denial? Acts 11, the same thing. I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, you'll be baptized. But this referring to what Jesus taught and to Jesus, the person, and then in Revelation, he is given the name, right? Heaven's open, the whole scene. The one who sits on the throne is faithful and true. His name is called the Word of God. I don't know what language they speak. It would be Logos in Greek. The Word of God. And so I thought, what a wonderful thing. We're so used to reading Scripture and saying, this is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To remind ourselves this morning, Jesus is the Word of the Lord. Well, that's a nice lesson, right? We could have done, y'all did do that in Sunday school class or some version of that. But how does that affect or bless or inform our everyday life? I have two things. One is that Jesus was who he said he was. He said and was God in the flesh, among us, with us, for us. And then secondly, we're calling him that, realizing he is that, offers us the opportunity and the invitation to listen. That was Eli's advice to Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Right? I recognize, even as a preacher, I'm not as different as you might imagine. God often seems remote or uninterested or uninvolved. Like there's my prayers hit the ceiling kind of thing, or where is God, or what's God doing? But the story of the scripture and God's people is that God is all the time speaking and reaching out to humanity, to us, to you and to me, not just churchy people, not just faithful people, but God is all the time speaking out into the world to all people, especially to those who are far from home, far from Him. We just aren't dialed in. All right, so if this morning you've had the sense that maybe God's trying to get your attention, right? Or what would God have to say to me? I want to mention three ways that God speaks to us. One, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, one is the general revelation, the general word of God through creation, through nature, right? Where you can go up on the Blue Ridge Parkway and look out on that expanse and think, wow, this is beautiful. And you get drawn towards, there's got to be something more, right, to make this kind of beauty. That's that general word from the Lord. There's the specific word from the Lord that's spelled out in the pages of the Bible where people listened to Jesus speak and wrote it down, observed what God was doing through people like Moses and the prophets and the kings, and wrote down the story of God and the message of God. That's a specific revelation. What does God think about this? You can open and find that out here. It's like the letter from home. And when we're apart from God, we want to pour over that letter and remember the one who loves us. And then in Jesus, and this is the message this morning, is the personal revelation, the personal word of the Lord. I realize He's not walking among us today. Wouldn't that seemingly make things a lot easier, right? If He could just come up here and tell you what God wants. And yet, even having lived 2,000 years ago and left, He is still our personal connection to God. Trust and faith in Jesus and what He accomplished here on earth is what connects us to the Creator God. It's through Jesus, faith through Jesus, that we can know God and know the personal aspect of what God wants and who God is. So we have that general word, we have the specific word, and we have the personal word in Jesus. So having said all that, if you have the sense that God's trying to get your attention or that God is worth listening to, and surely if there is a God, He's worth listening to, I would simply leave you with those wise words from Eli to Samuel, who didn't yet know the Lord. He said, Samuel, if you think you hear your name being called, if you think God's trying to get your attention, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of, I want to hear what's being said, of paying attention. And that's all he had to do. He didn't have to do great works of faith. He didn't have to become perfect or righteous. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And indeed, God spoke to him. The fact that phrase is used so many times, I mean, hundreds of times throughout the Bible, lets me know that God is a God who communicates with us, who speaks to us, the word of the Lord. So Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Amen.